Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Your three string this week.
It's not a three string.
It's an episode 62, Central Connecticut State University at Coppin. But before we do that, the midweek game, JJ.
It's VMI.
VMI, yeah.
It's not.
Last year, VMI finished 26 and 29. This year, they're currently 25 and 24. So they're one game over 500 as opposed to three games under 500. So looks like they're doing similar to how they did last year. History going into this one. Do you want to tell us what the record is between the teams?
History 1-22 going into this against VMI, only win an 8-5 victory back in 2008 in Lexington.
Yeah, it was actually in Lexington.
2007 series was 10-0, 13-0, 11-0.
Yeah, so that's I think they probably got a little upset. If you lose a series 34-0, then probably fired them up to get that win the following season.
I see where to stop.
So anyway, go ahead. Talk us through the first two innings.
All right. First inning 1-0 VMI. Second inning 2-1 VMI. Third inning nothing.
And then the third and nothing. So, close game at this point. So, it could go either way until we get to the top of the fourth. Jenkins hit by a pitch. Jenkins advanced to second on a passed ball. Jenkins advanced to third on a balk. That's a pretty unusual way of getting to third base. Hit by a pitch, passed ball, and then a balk. That probably doesn't happen very often. It's like stepping off the mound or something, or pretending you're going to throw, but then not throw,
and then stopping. Try and pick them off or something.
You're allowed to pick people off, but you can't. You kind of go through with the action. You can't just stop. So that's often why you'll see a player then immediately just throw to first base, and then the first baseman will throw back, and then he'll go on. It is the very confusing rule. I remember once one of you guys was called for it in Little League, and I was like, come on. Like, if it's very obvious, fine, but there's times when on the major leagues you'll hear the commentators not even clear exactly what happened. It's a very subjective one. I still can't pick it up all the time either. Some are more obvious than others. Angel Hernandez missed one recently. Shocking.
And also, isn't like already going to throw it and then you stop?
Well, that's definitely a ball. Yeah, you can't do that. So part of it is, it seems like, you know how sometimes you got both feet up and then you lift your front foot up? If you then put that foot straight back again, that would be a balk, for example, because you're in your pitching motion at that point. So runners try and get an advantage with that. So once they see your foot up, they know they can start trying to steal. Yeah. But if you were to put your foot back, then obviously that would be cheating. Yeah. Well, you'd be trying to gain an unfair advantage.
And then you get to evasive.
So that's one of the things. Once you're in your motion, then you've got to go through with the motion. And that's why sometimes people just, they don't do the wind-up. They just kind of stand and then they just throw. Well, they have to when there's runners on base, otherwise they get too much of an advantage. Cook hit by a pitch. Barrett singled on a bunt. Cook advanced to second and then advanced to third on a throwing error, and Jenkins scored. Jordan ground out to first base unassisted. It was a sacrifice bunt. It wasn't RBI though, and Barrett advanced to second. Prince walked, advanced to second on the throw. Barrett stole third and scored on a throwing error by the catcher. Stark walked and Prince stole third. Morgan flied out to center field. Stark advanced to second and Prince scored. Fitzwater doubled down the right field line. Stark scored, unearned. And Swaim grounded out to third base. Not a good inning for Coppin. Five runs on only two hits.
So the next
two errors, and there was one person left on base.
The next person up to bat is Jenkins.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's 7-1 going into the bottom of the fourth. All right, talk us through the rest of the game.
Seventh inning, 7-2. VMI, eighth inning, 8-2, final score.
Yeah, that was
real. Eight hits to six. 1-4 errors.
Yeah, four errors from Coppin, just too many. Jack Thompson took the win 2-0, and Giovanni Canales took the loss. Towards the end, though, it was actually, I think I read on the report, it was the last four innings, there was no earned runs at all. And actually, as I'm looking on this, it might have even been the last five innings, because there was no run scored in the fifth either. But just that one inning that kind of got away from them. As I'm doing the stats, are you looking through to see any significant hitters?
Yeah, I did.
Giovanni Canales went 5 innings, 5 earned runs. Jaden Hurd came in for 1 run, no runs. Jackson Montgomery, no earned runs. Christian Pareja, no earned runs. And Justin Ritz, no earned runs. So, yeah, the bullpen really did its job. It's just a shame that one inning that kind of got away from them a little bit.
Angel Hernandez hit 2 hits.
Angel Hernandez?
Wait, no. It's because you said Angel Hernandez earlier.
Angel Colon?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had 2 hits.
And that was pretty much it. Yeah. It wasn't like he was much better for VMI particularly.
I forgot what MLB is.
Trey Morgan had 2 RBIs, and there was a few couple of players with 2 hits, but that was about it. Which one have you got?
LOB.
Left on base.
Yeah, there's a bunch of 2s.
That's just the way it goes. I don't think you can read much in. You could have...
Angel also had 1 RBI. That was the only RBI.
There was 2 runs then, so I wonder how the second RBI came about then.
Could have been like he stole...
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, or a passed like ball.
First.
There was a passed ball in one of the other places.
It
could have
been like first and third. The person on first stole. He threw it a second, then he came through.
Could be. 2 hours, 34 minutes. Attendance around 100 in Hanover, Maryland for this one, JJ, apparently. 81 and sunny, which is, that's pretty nice. We've had some varying temperatures this week. We had, I think your practice on Monday, it was in the 90s at one point. And then yesterday, it was low 50s. So we've had some really varied weather recently. And then we go on to
I feel like the attendance isn't 100.
I have a feeling it's not 100 either. Central Connecticut State. There was a 32-year gap between the series. So they're 1-5 going into this one. But last year, even though Central Connecticut State won the NEC, Coppin actually won one game, the first one, 5-1. They lost the second one, 8-1. And then they only lost in extras, 6-5. So interesting to see. Although Central Connecticut State were really good last year, Coppin actually managed to play pretty well against them. So it'll be interesting to see how this one goes. And actually, I'm doing the beginning right at the start this time, JJ. This was originally supposed to be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, and then the game on Sunday got moved to Friday for a doubleheader because of weather today. If they'd done it on Saturday, you couldn't have gone anyway because you had your game. And as it was, Saturday's game got rained out, so the third game got moved to Sunday if possible.
Hey.
And I was like, all right, we got a chance. But the weather was really bad all week, so I wasn't expecting it. I looked this morning to see the percentage chance. It was over 50% all day. And literally within the last 10 minutes or so, Coppin announced that the game had been cancelled and it will not be rescheduled. They're not going to come back from Central Connecticut just for one game. So this is just a 2-game set. So both games played on Friday. And let's have a look at the big inning right at the start then. So Central Connecticut State got 7 runs on 6 hits. So how does Coppin respond? Di Vittoria walked in the bottom of the first. Kai Holm walked. Gaither doubled to left center, which Di Vittorio scored on. Sam Nieves doubled, which Kai Holm scored on. Marte struck out swinging, and Daniel Moore struck out swinging. Three runs, 2 hits, no errors. So 7-3, so not a great start from either pitcher, to be honest.
Why didn't you do the beginning as Central Connecticut State's 7 runs?
Because I didn't really want to read through all those ones because it was way too long. And okay. It wasn't particularly good reading, unfortunately. Giving up 7 runs, I hear what you're saying. I would rather talk positively about Coppin State's offense than perhaps failures on the defensive side of things. All right, tell us about the rest of the game.
Second inning, 7-4, Central Connecticut. Third inning, 13-6, Central Connecticut. Fifth inning,
15-6.
Sixth inning, 17-7. Final score was 18-7 because they scored 1 in the 9th.
Yeah, no errors, but a lot of hits.
That's good.
15 hits for Central Connecticut, 10 for Coppin. Like, they're not that far apart on hits, but by runs overall it was.
Actually, but that's good there's no errors.
I think I might have got it wrong when I said the last four people gave up no earned runs on the last match. That might have been true, but actually I think it was for this match. I think I'm getting my games mixed up as I was reading, because I was reading all the reviews this morning. Exactly 100 again, JJ, 3 hours and 6 minutes. 70s are mostly cloudy. You could see why they wanted to play two on Friday. Weather conditions were just
significantly better. 3 hours and 6 seconds. I mean, 3 minutes.
I don't think they do seconds on a baseball game.
3 hours and 6 minutes.
And the main reason why I didn't want to do the first inning for Central Connecticut State was the figures. Leo McCollum, 2.2 innings, 13 runs, all earned, 9 hits. And actually, in the second inning, they went through the... I don't think they got one runner on base, but then they had a double play in there. So basically, it was 1-2-3. So the second inning was good. But when you look at that overall, so yeah, the first inning wasn't pretty. 7 walks. Jackson Montgomery gave up 5 walks in 2.2. Brandon Stevens, 3 walks in 2.2. And Michael Matthews, 2 walks in 1 inning. 17 bases on balls in the game. That's too many. Far too many. We talked about a game recently when I said it could be a record. You can't give 17 free bases away, unfortunately.
I feel like
it's going to be tough to win games.
I feel like Liam probably wasn't in his flow. Like in the first inning.
Liam, remember, was pitcher of the week only 2 weeks ago.
But then he got into his flow in the second inning.
Yeah, but then it looked like it returned in the third inning as well, because he managed to get 2 outs in there. But that's sometimes how it goes. Sometimes you you have that motion and sometimes you don't. For Central Connecticut, Newman, I think it is, took the win. 4-4, 6 innings, 7 hits, 7 earned runs, 5 bases on balls. Not like he pitched a fantastic game either, to be honest. And Riley came in for the save, 3 innings, no earned runs, and only 1 walk, so he was far more consistent. Any at-bats from Coppin that stand out?
Kai had 3 hits and 2 RBIs. Chris had 2 hits. Noah had 2 hits, 2 RBIs.
Yeah, Noah again. Yeah, Noah's looking good out there. And from Central Connecticut State, Short, who was the leadoff batter, had went 4-for-5. That would probably be the dominant performance. But at the tail end of this, Hussey was batting 8th, went 3-for-6. And Redahan went 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs. So kind of the tail and the start of the Central Connecticut inning were the significant part for this one. Mm-hmm. All right, shall we move on to game 2?
Yeah. So, first inning, nothing really. Second
you
inning,
0-0.
Yeah. Second inning, 1-1. Fourth inning, 4-1, Central Connecticut. Fifth inning, 9-1. 9-3. Sixth inning, 12-3.
All right, and then you can stop right there, mister, and we'll get to the... I put the big inning as the 7th and the 8th for this one, so I'm going to talk about 2.
It's big innings.
So, I guess so.
It's not big
innings. I guess it's both, isn't it? So, at the bottom of the 7th, Coppin State, Holm flied out to left field, Nieves flied out to center field, so there's already 2 outs, but Marte homered to left field, Daniel Moore homered to left field,
hey.
Damon Gaither walked,
I wish
and
we could be there so I could go left field.
Unfortunately, Cologne flied out to left center. 2 runs, 2 hits, no errors. But then, in the top of the next one, Central Connecticut State had 0 runs on just 1 hit. Coppin had 3 runs in the 8th. So, actually, they're down by 4 at this point. So, go ahead. Can we get that famous Coppin comeback in this one?
Are we in the 9th inning?
We are in the 9th
13-8.
inning. 13-8. So Central Connecticut got 1.
4 errors.
Yeah, it's too many. It's
I wish
too
we
many,
gone
unfortunately.
So I could shut up and left.
Yeah, it would have had a chance. Well, actually, you wouldn't because the players can get through that gate quickly. When it's
I know, but if I set it up there.
Oh, if you were out that way, sure. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. 100 again, 3 hours and 13 minutes, 70s. Well, obviously, it's the same temperatures because it's the same day, effectively.
Same people.
Nico Felber took the loss, 4.2 innings, 13 hits, ouch, 8 earned runs, control wasn't too bad, just 2 walks within that time. Christian came in, 4 innings, 3 earned runs, and Justin Ritz just came in for 0.1 of an inning and got
it the... It was 3 hours, 13 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
thought the start time was the actual time, but I didn't look to the left.
Oh, okay. All right, what about at-bats from Coppin in this one?
The hits were spread out, but Kai, Sam, and Chris had two hits.
Yeah, second, third, and fourth Sam were kind of the main
Sam
people.
Had four RBIs.
Yeah.
And Chris had two RBIs.
Yep. And we also know, obviously, there was home runs from Chris and Daniel back-to-back, so Daniel only had one
Braylon
hit, but it
got
was a home
twice.
Run. Yeah, he did. Yeah, actually, there wasn't that many walks given out in total on this one, but yeah.
Angel, all the way up to Chris in the lineup, had one walk each.
And the Central Connecticut bats, Short again, two hits, three RBIs. Malonghi, that name sounds familiar. I think he was one of the star players last year. I think I recognize him from the NEC tournament. Two for five with two RBIs, and then a couple of people near the end with... Yeah, once again, the tail's kind of contributing a little bit. The 4-5-6 hitters for Central Connecticut State, I don't think were... actually, Hussey did okay. He got three hits.
I wonder if E. Good is good.
E. Good? Oh, I didn't even...
I wonder if he's good at short.
Well, I'm disappointed that I didn't notice that, because there's a famous song from the 90s called Ebenezer Good, which would have fitted perfectly with those letters.
That should be his entrance music.
That should definitely be his entrance
music. If he gets to the MLB, that should be what he uses.
Should be. I don't know if that made that song made it in America, but it was number one in England, I know that. The Shaman, I used to really like. Move Any Mountain as well. Ebenezer Good. Ugh, some good songs from 30 plus years ago. And Coppin went 0-2. If it's Ebenezer, I'm gonna be loving it, and I'm gonna guess his parents were Shaman fans if that's true. So when we last talked, we talked about how Coppin were making a bid for the playoffs. They were doing pretty well, and then they lost the last three. They just lost two more now, so now they're suddenly four games under 500. Central Connecticut State is starting to win games, because we talked about how they were not doing very well. So I haven't looked at the standings right now. I was going to wait until the end of today's game, but yeah, not too awesome, unfortunately.
What up, world? It's your boy E coming at you from the Nattering with E Studios, letting you know that we are now proud members of the Visionaries of Global Media family. Catch us Wednesdays and sometimes some other random days. And check out some of the other shows too. Band from Ringside, led by JCB. Good Cop, Bad Cop, with Graham, Matt, and Ryan. And our favorite pod, ROH Revelry, with Will and High Five Tom, every Saturday.
So, this week in Major League Baseball, I've got a couple of stories I found. I'm going to let you do the reading part, and I'm going to add in a little bit more. Although, I think you know about the first story rather than the second story.
Padres signed Luis Arias after sending right-handed reliever Woosuk Gil and three prospects, Dylan Head, Jacob Marcy, and Nathan March...
Mortarella, I think.
Yeah, to Miami. Luis arrived from the airport an hour before batting leadoff against the D-backs on Saturday evening. The Padres won 13-1, and Arias finished 4-for-6, becoming the first player to make his Padres debut with a four-hit game.
Mm-hmm.
Could not have planned it much better, manager Mike
Schilt
said. He gets jersey number 4 and goes out and gets 4 knocks.
I didn't know he was number 4. And when I read that part, I was like, that's pretty cool, actually.
Uh-huh.
His 4 hits are actually his first 4 at-bats. As well. Now, some of the players that got traded, Dylan Head, apparently, when they rank players, have you heard of like a 5-tool player? Like, there's different characteristics, like running, throwing, batting, speed. There's like a whole list of them. I can't remember all of them. Dylan Head, apparently you get ranked between 20 and 80. 80 being the top. Dylan Head's speed is ranked at 80. Like, woo, okay. So even he would be useful even if he doesn't bat or anything.
Pinch runner,
yeah. And a key point in a game, you get Dylan Head on that. I'm assuming
he
steals bases.
No, you can get him out to bat, make him bunt,
If he could bunt as well, yeah, he's got a great chance of getting on base. I imagine with speed, I think he said he was an outfielder as well. Like, I can imagine that being useful in the outfield as well.
He should be center.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how he does. Now, I don't know which of the three it was, but I told you the story of there was some minor league game. It must have been Thursday or Friday. And he gets onto second, and then suddenly the coach comes out and he pulls him in a random inning. Like, if you get pulled for a pinch runner in the ninth or something, you're like, fine, I know why they're doing it. They're going to bring this. But it was like in the middle of the game, and you can see the guy's like really confused. And yeah, they pull him off and they said that, yeah, you're being traded for as part of the Luis Urías deal. So, really strange circumstances. I've never seen that in the middle of a game. I guess he wasn't part of the original package. And then I guess his name came through and they're like, well, as they're trying to balance things out, they're like, well, what about this player? And they were like, all right, we'll go with this. And then, yeah, he was in the middle. Because you asked, why would you wait? And I was like, well, if he gets injured, then that could put that whole deal in jeopardy. Luis Urías is the current batting champion. So you could see why the Padres would want him. And then, so it was kind of a good deal for the Padres. But he does become a free agent after 2025. So he could say a year and a bit, he could go, I'm leaving, and there's nothing they can do about it. So I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. All right, what about story two?
Story two, in the Dodgers' 11-2 win over the Braves on Saturday night, the Dodger Stadium, Ohtani...
The Dodger Stadium.
At Dodger Stadium. Oh. Ohtani hit his 8th homer of the season and became the Japanese-born player with most homers in franchise history, just 34 games into his Dodger career.
I think when I think of Japanese players who play for the Dodgers, I generally think more of pitchers than I do of batters. That's not many 8 home runs. Well, actually, it was 7 would have been the record if he broke the record with 8.
On April 21st, he hit his 176th home run, passing
Hideki Matsui
as the Japanese-born player with the most MLB home runs.
He used to play for the Yankees. He played. Hey. I'm pretty sure he played in the Yankees in that key 2004 ALCS game when the Red Sox came back from 3-0 down and won the World Series. I thought you'd like that stat. So yeah, I thought you'd like. I know you like Shohei. I thought you would like the fact that he now has the most home runs of any major league player. And the second story came out, or the first part came out about the most home runs. He tied Hideki Matsui, or somebody asked him about the record, and he said, "Oh yeah," because it was obvious he was going to catch him.
Wait, it would be 175 would be the record.
Correct, to tie, and it was obvious that he was getting. I think he was on that day, but then he asked, "What would it be like?" And he talked. And he said, "Well, I'm more interested. What's the record for most home runs for a Dodgers player?" And they said it was Brian Roberts, and the reason, not Brian Roberts, Dave Roberts. And he started laughing. Dave Roberts is the manager. He's the manager of the Dodgers right now. And anyway, Shohei's been giving different players like cars as like a thank you gift. And he said once he passes Roberts' record, he's going to give him a car. And sure enough, he did. Toy car. He gave him a toy Porsche. They actually had it at the interview. But it's, obviously, Shohei has a great sense of humor. I think the manager's comment was, I can't remember who the player was who got the Porsche, but he's like, the difference is his Porsche basically fits in his garage, but my Porsche fits on my desk. I thought it was pretty funny. He might end up getting him a proper one later. I don't know. But
That reminds me of when somebody got given a Toyota, and they thought it was like the car. It was just
a Yoda? Toyota. I think he said a Toyota. Toyota, yeah.
And then they thought it was the car, but it was just a Toyota.
It was that.
So
okay.
They sued them.
Okay, well, that makes sense because I thought that's what you said to begin with as well. Now, you were booing when the Yankees lost earlier, so you're probably not going to like then what happened with the Orioles this week. Do you want to talk to us what happened?
No. Oh, wait, they won 2-0.
Yes, the Orioles won 2-0. Hey, so that's that's a boo then, right? Because you don't like it when the Yankees lose.
No, go I on. Like it that the Orioles won.
Keep going.
Then they won 4-2. They lost 2-0.
Hey.
Then they won 7-2.
Uh-huh.
Then they played Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
They won 3-0, and then they won 2-1.
So they're pretty doing good week for the Orioles. Good. Obviously, the Yankees were ahead of the Orioles at one point, so they just took 3 out of 4 against them, so that's pretty good. You're laughing at the Red Sox, but the Red Sox didn't do that bad. They started the week really good, 17-0 against Chicago.
Well, it's just the Cubs.
5-4 against the Cubs, and then San Francisco, 4-0 and 6-2. These games were... I think these games were all at home, actually. Yeah. Then they lost 3-1 to San Francisco, and then they lost the last couple against Minnesota, 5-2, 3-1.
Do they even have anybody good?
The thing is, although you're kind of making fun right now, if you look at how many runs the Red Sox have given up, the Red Sox actually have a really good pitching staff right now, and they have a lot of injuries. So they gave up 0 runs, 4 runs, 0 runs, 2 runs, 3 runs, 5 runs, and 1 run. They gave up 15 runs in only in 7 games. That's only 2 a game. That's pretty amazing right now. And they have a lot of injuries. So I did not think... Red Sox are third in that division still, and they're still above 500. So with that many injuries, because I didn't know that side of it to begin with, I'm quite happy with that. I have no problems with how they're doing right now. All it's about is... You can win the division. I have no problems with that. It's all about making...
I want to figure out how much the Orioles gave up.
You can do that later. Name game.
They gave up 5.
Last week's puzzle, you got it before I even gave any clues, so it was too easy. S. Peralta. S.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. Known to his family as Mikey after his grandma heard the name on a soap opera. That's so bizarre. I did not know he started his career with the Rangers. I thought he started his career with the White Sox.
I thought he was on the Cubs the whole time.
But I love the fact that I didn't know he played for the Orioles either. He played with Rafael Palmeiro and became the first to have 2 500 home run members on the same team. I was like, wow, I did not know that. All right, the one for you this week, Jackson. Oh, you said you had one for me. Yes. Do you want to do yours before you forget?
T. Vance T. Vance won't help you.
No, I'm sure it won't.
It's just a random middle
name. Is that the person's actual initials, or is it like a trick question?
It is. Yeah.
My first thing was Tristan Thomas, but that's not even the right sport. Oh dear. Is there any clues that go along with this?
Yes, he's a current player.
A current player?
I think.
Wait. You think? All right, so he's not. He didn't play with Lou Gehrig, at least. Then. All right. The only thing, the person I can think of with T right now is Tatis. But you said there was no trick on this, so it's not Fernando, then. And Vance doesn't really sound like an Hispanic name, either. I think I'm going to need another clue.
He played for the Nationals and the Phillies, I think.
Nationals and the Phillies? Well, Bryce Harper's the first person that springs to mind for that. Max Scherzer also fits that as well.
He's not a pitcher, I think. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what position he plays.
I am...
And that's the only two things I can think of.
I think I'm tapping out then. I don't know.
Trey Turner.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, I should have got Trey Turner. I don't know
why.
Is
he still current?
I believe so. I'm not sure if he's still playing.
What position does he play?
He's infield, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I actually thought he was Dodgers as well, but
I did too. That's what I know him for.
He might be.
But he never said that when I looked him up.
I'll have a look, see if I can find
one. Isn't he known for that one thing where he slid through home and then just stood up from the
screen? I remember that clip. I wouldn't have known that was Trey Turner, but I know exactly the clip that you're talking about.
I think that's him.
Yeah, shortstop.
Okay.
Current team, Phillies.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, well, it's interesting that you just picked him. He's actually in the news today. Oh. Phillies shortstop Trey Turner hamstring was placed on the 10-day injured reserve prior to Saturday's game against the San Francisco Giants.
Oh.
The infield... Oh, that's interesting. I wanted to do my one as for you as Roger Clemens, because I thought, I don't think we've done that before. And then I remembered why. His middle name is Roger. So if I would have said his real real first name, Roger C, you would have got it instantly. The person who's being promoted is Cody Clemens from AAA Lehigh Valley. That's his son. To fill the roster spot. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. I was I don't know why, but... Mike Piazza and Roger Clemens kept coming up on my YouTube page.
Oh, yeah, because Clemens is a cheat, and he threw his bat at Piazza and then claimed that he didn't.
And then 4 years earlier...
Well, I think the bat snapped, and it wasn't like he was trying to... But then he threw it at it and was like, ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
And also, I think Piazza caught Clemens like a few years earlier.
Uh-huh.
And he gave up like five or six runs. And so
there was a lot of animosity between those two for sure.
And then a few years later, he hit a bomb. The bat snapped.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just threw it at Piazza, who's running around.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, the one for you then is J. Thomas B.
Oh, that's my initials. JB.
Oh, hold on a second.
JB.
Hold on a second.
It's me.
Hold on, that's the one for the guests. Sorry, yours is actually the same initials. It's J. Lee, L-E-E, B. Wow, I didn't even notice when I put this together that they were the same initials. That's when I was just, I looked at it and it made sense.
Is that his real initials?
Yes.
Okay, good.
The Lee is obviously no help. He only played for one team his whole career.
I have
four different clues.
What team is it?
All right, ready for a second clue?
Yes.
14-time All-Star, 2-time MVP, 2 World Series rings. If you get to, as soon as I give you the fourth clue, you'll get it instantly.
Third one?
The third one, he led the league in home runs with 45 in 1970. Ooh, that should help you to narrow it down a little bit now, so you know what era we're talking. Last clue?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you the team, but it was a single-season record for home runs by a catcher until Salvador Perez hit 48 in 2021. So you can answer the own question now. Which team?
Reds.
The Cincinnati Reds, yes.
Hey.
All right. When you said you were going to do one this week, I was like, uh-oh, I'm worried. You mentioned Johnny Bench earlier in the week. You were starting to put together your elite team of any era,
uh-huh.
And you mentioned Johnny Bench's catcher, which I think it has to be. So I was like, I know
And
you
then
know
Yogi
Johnny
Berra,
Bench.
He can be a bench warmer.
Yogi Berra would be a good bench player.
He'd be a backup.
He won a lot of rings, but Johnny Bench is a better catcher for sure.
Yeah, Yogi Berra could be a backup catcher for
Needham. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, now you can work on who your subs are in each position and how are you going to platoon them. I think that's what they call it when they rotate players.
I can't think of anybody else who would be short.
Besides Derek Jeter. Besides Cal? Yeah, he did say Derek Jeter. Yeah. I said Honus Wagner as well. I don't think Honus Wagner is a terrible pick. All right, the one for our fans, if anyone is listening and anyone wants to play along, you can see if you know it, JJ, as well, but don't say the answer. This is J. Thomas B. So, yeah, the initials are exactly the same. The clues are, made the Hall of Fame in the 1970s, was in the top 75 on a list of the greatest baseball players published by the Sporting News in 1999. So this is a big player. This is not me just messing around with an obscure one here. Started his career as a pitcher, but really he's known as a center fielder. Played in the East-West All-Star Game in 1936. That should help make the time 36? Frame a little bit clearer now. And he batted right-handed, but actually threw left-handed. He was actually a switch hitter, but he predominantly batted right-handed, but threw left-handed. I didn't know that fact, but I kind of liked it. J. Thomas B. made the Hall of Fame in the 70s, was in the top 75 on a list of the greatest players of all time in 99. Starred as a pitcher, but is known as a center fielder. Played in the East-West All-Star Game in 1936, and the last clue wasn't that helpful anyway. I don't think JJ knows, so he's going to have to wait a week to find out the answer, or at least until after he's played his jingle. I think that's it for this week, JJ.
I'm still thinking.
Oh, the downside of not being able to go to the game this week is we probably don't get to see another Coppin game this year. There's only one more home series, and it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday home series, and you're going to have a baseball game on a Saturday. So senior day, we did it last year. We drove up, watched the ceremony, watched the first inning, and then just drove back. So we talked about that, but you know, that could get rained out though as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We might not get to...
Or my game could be rained out, and then the game... wouldn't.
That's it. Well, the best option, of course, is that Coppin make the playoffs, have a good run, and then make the final on the Saturday when we're actually going to be up in Wappinga Falls, and we can actually see them play in the NEC tournament.
Wappinga.
But that's asking a lot. All right, outro time.